ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Sunday afternoon here. It is... Oh, it's the 27th of February, what do you know? I'm here to demonstrate to you today some features of the Excellent Audio VST plugin Addictive Drums. Now, I have a great deal of respect for those guys, although other people will say that Superior Drum is better, and there's just other VSTs, lots of VSTs. However, I'm only here to demonstrate Addictive because it's the one I know best and can play best. Now, you'd think, it's just a drum kit like any other drum kit, right? Yes and no. Now, I can't do everything with it, due to the nature of certain things and the fact that I am not using Reaper, but I'm using an antiquated old VST host that allows me to just sort of play it and MIDI up to my keyboard and hit keys like that. So we're sitting in front of the trusty Juno G here. I'm coming to you from the left side of the room, as it were, although today I'm in mono, just so that I don't baffle your heads, and you are to focus on the music instead of my voice this afternoon. What you're just hearing in the background is a track I wrote called Prove It, and we're using the very first kit that Addictive, I think, ever put out, called the DW kit, which is here. And I have the Juno turned down, you see. If I turn it up somewhat, put in the bass line for you, I can play along with this thing. Although I just went and muted the wrong track like I'm blind. That's one kit of a great deal. I don't actually know how many presets I have, but each kit is in a separate file, and you load that file from within the VST host. So I am here today to demonstrate live play, a bit of live play. Hopefully you won't see it as just showing off, but it's fun to play anyway and to demonstrate how you would use certain kits with different pieces of music. Since I've got the house to myself today, as I do most weekends, I thought that without Screaming Baby and TV on, which I've turned down for the occasion, all you get to contend with is my voice and the CPU fan of my system. Unexciting, isn't it? So, let's get on with it. That's my Juno. And as I said, this track is called Prove It. And a while ago, I just basically played live over that track. Now, this is not your conventional GM layout at all. It's far from it, in fact. If you were to play GM drums on it, it would come out sort of like this. So basically what I'm doing there is the hi-hat, where you would normally expect, is a rim shot. The middle of that, the A-flat, is a kind of stick on the side of the rim, and the open, which is the B-flat, is actually a cymbal. One of a few. One that you can actually go with, which you cannot with a lot of drum kits. This is not my preferred preset at all. I don't really like it that much, but it is a piece of mine that used it, so I thought I'd demonstrate that. Now, apart from that, the layout is also very strange. For those of you who have played with it before, hopefully this bit won't bore you too much, but for those of you who haven't, imagine this. Bottom C is the bass drum, so that doesn't change. The C sharp, however, where you would expect that to be, is a snare, as is the E flat. Loud snares. The D and the E are quiet snares. You use them for different purposes. Also, you have them doubled up so that you can trill. For example, that's why you would use those. Silence. Now, the F is another part of the snare. So you've got in row, you've got D, E, and F, which is also good for doing like reggae things, like, you know, you might want to count in. And so on, you see. All have their reasons. The F sharp, as I said before, is the rim shot there. The G, another snare. It's actually good for doing rolls. If you trill with your left hand with the D and E, and use your other hand on the G, you can do rolls. I would do it, for example, if I'm going to go into something else. If I'm doing jazz.
Mm-hmm.
like that, for example. The A flat is that stick on the side of the drum, snare drum. A is a cymbal, which is part of the ride. B flat, as I said, is a crash. Cowbell. Now this is interchangeable. This cowbell can be many things. It can be a tambourine as well. It's also something else I can't currently remember at this time. Or maybe it's just a cowbell and a tambourine. I think in the jazz kits it may be something different. Now here's where you start to get to the hi-hat section. The F becomes your pedal hi-hat, which in the GM layout is actually the A flat or G sharp, as you may wish to call it. The C sharp is the most closed of the hi-hats. The D is a slightly more open hi-hat. E flat, slightly more open still. E, more open still. And this is still with a pedal down, it's not completely open. The F is the bell of the hi-hat. Now you start getting actual opened hi-hats with the pedal off, or mostly off anyway. There's that, which is the F sharp, the G, the A, the A flat, the A, and the B flat, which is the bell open. The B is basically pedal and straight back up again with the hi-hat. That's another ride, which is the same as your A, an octave lower, and a bit, an octave and a bit lower. So you can actually use that to trill. I would find that useful, like in certain styles, for example. Doing that with one finger, for example, could be quite tedious. If I slow it down, see that I'm doing what I'm doing there actually is right, left, left, right, which at faster speeds is okay. I could do one-handed at that speed doing that, but if I'm speeding up, you know, it's going to be quite difficult. So that's why you have the two versions of that. Then you have the bell of the ride. And then you have a crash of the ride. So I should have cleared that. C sharp and then D. And then you have the choke. Yes, you can choke these kits. Now there's a blank key. I'm not quite sure why. Maybe it's for future expansion, but they've never used it in any of the kits that I've ever played. Never been used, ever. Now you get the toms. Now the toms are quite interesting because on the white keys, F, then you have that. Now the C, it doesn't count quite yet. You'll see why in a minute. So F, G, A, B. Fair enough. Those are the quieter part of the toms, probably the middle. Now the F sharp, the A flat, the B flat, and the C are the louder part of the toms. Versus the C is the odd one out, really, because it just happens to be next to B, and that's where they put it, so it's there. Now you have two blank keys after those toms. So if I go chromatically, sorry, I'll go back a bit. So you have F, F sharp, A flat, A, B flat, B, C, B, C. So it's good for, you know, trills. When I did the snare trill, I did, which is basically C sharp, E flat in quick succession. Again, you wouldn't want to do that with one finger on one key, because the keys, if you're playing a weighted keyboard, wouldn't actually come back in time for you to do that. So that's why these are useful. That time, to achieve the different loud sound of the snare, I went D, E, D, E, C sharp. Right, so after the toms, you have two blank keys, as I say, and you have then just the drumstick click, as you would expect. And every kit uses, or seems to use, a different set of sticks. Not every single kit, obviously. They have to recycle them occasionally. Different presets use different kind of things. One blank key again, maybe for future expansion. I'm not quite sure what they'll do with it. And then you get onto the cymbals. The cymbals work not quite in the same way the ride one does. The ride one's a special case. However, the first cymbal that you come to, which is on the F, is also duplicated on the B flat of the what would be GM layout open hi-hat. So you can roll cymbal with that. Like that. And you can choke it. So the choke is on the black keys. There's three cymbals in a row here. F, G, and A. You can choke them with the F sharp, A flat, and B flat. You see? So that's that. And that is the whole kit in a nutshell, as it were. And the kits don't really change that much. as it goes. They stick to a sort of formula, and that is basically the formula. Now that we have established that, allow me to show you some of the standard presets and some of the custom ones that I've gotten from users. Let's see here. So that was DW kit we just heard. Now, it's good for certain things. Obviously, certain kits are good for certain things, are they not? But I think these hi-hats are too loud. Just very obnoxious hi-hats. I've just loaded a Pearl plus Sunnet Toms kit. Different kind of sound. That kit. Now, each kit seems to have its plethora of issues, or in some cases only a couple of issues. The cowbell in this one I think is too large. Not liking it. The rim shot is practically non-existent, so when you're playing loud, but the snares in it are really good, so you kind of have to make up and mix and match for what you want best. Quite strange overall. So that's the Pearl plus Sunnet kit. Now just a Sunnet kit there. Nice ringy snares if you like that sort of thing. Now these hi-hats are almost as loud as the DW hi-hats. However, the snares almost kind of make up for being that loud. Let me rephrase that. The snares, being as loud as they are, kind of match the hi-hats in a way, so it's okay. Sunnet kit. A Tama kit now. And all these things will be used in different ways by you, and you can use them in different kinds of musics and different situations. I will be demonstrating that alongside MIDI in a moment. I missed the cymbal then like an idiot. And there's a good point, actually. A few of the kits have different cymbals in the certain places. So in this case, on the DW kit, the cymbal at the top and the A was a splash. In this case, it's on the G. The A, in this case, is a China. Do you see? The F usually will remain a crash. I've never seen it particularly change. It's so that you can do the rolls with your B-flat and F in two hands. Why that remains that, and the ride changes from kit to kit, usually. That ride is a rather big one, based on the crash anyway. Now, the rimshot in this actually is quite good. This is an overall good kit. The strangeness about this one is the toms. The toms, the deepest one, is very huge, so we'll go from smallest to largest. Look at that, floor tom's massive. It's not bad for that though, it's just big. I actually quite like that kit. I used it on Ninjam a few times there. It's quite good. Now, that is in the clean folder. All these presets fit into categories. This is the default folder, or one of the defaults. One of the first few kits I ever played, actually, the clean set. There's a couple of user presets in here, but we can get back to those later. Now, I didn't really plan for this, by the way. I wasn't really sure how to demonstrate what to demonstrate. What I could demonstrate, there were some brush kits. I had no lesson plan, as it were. Just wanted to show off some of these fun kits that I've got here, because I can. Let's show you one of the jazz kits here. It's a Premier Jazz kit. Premier Jazz brush kit, as we wait for these samples to load in here. Hope you're finding this not too boring. I guess you can always skip it. Now, this seems to be in quite a large room here. And the bass drum is not yet loaded. Now it is. As you hear, the cymbals and the toms are sort of brushed, as you'd expect. Ringy snares for sure. See, the cymbals are nice and brushed when you hit them with your brushes. Actually, that's an extremely nice room spread. Look at that, it's very, very far over to your left. And that one is kind of right central. I like that. Nice to roll with too. One of the brush kits. Now, let's show you another one, because I then want to show you one with rooms only. Let's see. This is called Premiero Kit. See, it's kind of the same sound, however, it's slightly different. With these VSTs, a lot of them, you can change the mic position of the microphones in the room that you're recording in, and you can change the characteristics of the room and so on and so forth, which is quite unique if you've never heard of that before. And see, there seems to be a lot less room ambience going on here. It's the same kit as previous, though. And perfect. The cowbell that was previously a cowbell in other kits is now a tambourine. And now I show you the room version of that. Slightly different. Subtle. The bass drum is more noticeable, for example. It's quite interesting, that. Now, that was the jazz stuff. The jazz, it's an add-on, you see. There are add-ons. The default, when you get it, doesn't come with any add-ons. It does come with kits, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't know what you're playing. That was from the Jazz Brushes add-on. There's also a Jazz Sticks add-on. Similar sort of thing. Loading that now. I think it's the same kit, just played with sticks instead of brushes. Again, those far-off cymbals. As you see, the same toms, you can tell it's the same kit. is actually quite useful because I can demonstrate one of the pieces I wrote using this kit. I actually did demonstrate this on Twitter at one stage, but I can now do so again. Now, if I have the right kit, Premiere kit, no room mics. I wrote a track called Taking the High Road. And when I wrote that track, I wanted a kit that would actually suit the track's mood, as you'd expect. The kit I chose for that was this one, and the beat that I wrote goes like this. Now, if I'd have chosen a different kit, for example, let's do something completely not right for that. Let's go back to the clean folder and choose, say, something I know that won't work. Perhaps that Pearl Plus Sunner kit. The snares are all wrong, the bass drum's all wrong, the feel's all wrong, and what'd you get? That's not very nice. So let's go back to that. As it all reloads again. And there it is. It's a much softer sound. And the reason I like that over the other one, when I play the piece to you, is for this reason. If the machine wants to play nice, which I hope it will, please do. Because that will kind of be bad and very embarrassing. So you see, the other kit probably wouldn't have worked very well in the mix there. Alright, you can't hear the ghost notes particularly well when the whole track is playing. But ghost notes are meant to be there, but if they were missing, you'd feel their absence, if that makes any sense. Ghost notes are the little things that, if you listen, are about to come up with. Those little tiny tick-tick-tick in the corner there, you see. Now, you can't hear them underneath all that, but as I say, if they weren't there, you would certainly feel their absence. That's true in a lot of music. There's probably ghost notes in a lot of your favourite tunes, but you don't necessarily hear they're there. In fact, there's probably a lot of hidden instruments in a lot of your tunes, unless you're actually going to sit down and analyse them, that you would not realise are there in the first place. Certainly true for a lot of the things I listen to. I find that quite interesting myself. Now let's change tone here. Go for something completely different, as it was once said. I want the folder that I don't remember the name of. Oh, I will. There it is. That will do. Let's load that up. I'm going to load up a track called Looking For You, if I can find it. Yes, I can find it. Thank you very much. This time I will check that everything is loading before I go off and do crazy things. Yes, it is working. Now, when I initially wrote this tune, I used a kit called 70s Kit. But the compression in that kind of bugs me on the snare, you see. It bugs me in a strange sort of way, and I eventually changed it to another kit from a different add-on. And I will demonstrate the two of them and why I like them both. For different reasons. Now, if the machine will play nice, I will hit the spacebar and you'll get... Oh, lovely. Thank you. say you see. That's that. Now, we're going to go to the retro folder, which is another an additional add-on pack here. And I've completely lost where I was going. There we go. Being a bit blind here. And we're going to load a kit called Black Oyster Dry and Crunchy. Or no, not the crunchy, just the Black Oyster Dry. It's been a while since I've loaded this, as it goes. Been a while since I've loaded it. We're waiting for it to load. I like this kit for different reasons. Different kind of snare feel. Very deep toms again, a bit like the Tama kit we played earlier. Huge cymbal on there, on the A at the very top of the keyboard. Absolutely gigantic. Rather odd. The F and the G are pretty normal size though. Rather large ride too. But when we play the same piece that we just played with this kit, it's a different feel. Drum is more punchy, you see. And so on and so forth. That's that. Another place where that works is here. That same kit works in a reggae situation. Because it does. We even have a nice steel pan to go with it. My dad would find that very easy to play, as he's a steel pan player himself, which is rather interesting. And he's much better at it than I am, of course, because I'm playing on a keyboard and he isn't. So there's that. Now, we get to one of my favourite kits of all times, which I've used quite a lot lately, from the AdFunk. Yes, AdFunk is right. Now, this is a user kit because it has a better ride symbol than the default. It's called another JR kit, and it is good because it's got good hi-hats. It's one of these good all-round kits, in actuality, which, because it's been adapted, fits that category now. The original is all right, but the ride, as I said, was annoying. So this is the user kit. See, no cymbal is a bit too chunky. The toms are quite fun. Not too scary and deep. The hi-hats, very reasonable. Even the rimshot is reasonable. And the ride. Now we will change to the non-user version of this. If I can remember which one it is. Was it that? Yeah, that's the ride. Now the bell on this ride is silly. There's no bell there. It's very similar to the non-part of the bell. There's not much in it. So that makes it not good. So we switch back to the one I actually want to use. And there we go. We have a happy kit there. Now, this has been used in a great many things. One of which is a piece I wrote called 6 out of 8. Although, originally it was Black Oyster Dry. But you see what happens is you get ad packs later as they come out, of course. And when ad packs come out, you decide that you like a different kit better. So now, when I have the 6 over 8 piece, I prefer this kit in it. The 6 over 8 piece that I wrote, it goes like this. It's a blues in 6/8, basically. That's that for that. The Black Oyster Dry was the one with the very meaty bass drum, which I can go back to for a comparison. Let's have an AB here. Modern and Black Oyster Dry. And again, we wait for it to do its thing and load up the samples. Oh dear. It doesn't like loading samples, it makes the machine laggy. Isn't that exciting? And we'll play that again. The hi-hat's very prevalent. Again, is that snare stands out, doesn't it? But the other one is a bit more toned down, a bit more satisfactory in the mix. Although, of course, everybody has different opinions. You may disagree with me. You may find this better. And that's, you know, your prerogative. I'm just sort of saying, say as I see it, as it were. Now, let me show you something quite amusing. From the retro folder, we're still here. Let's go into the Ludwig Blue Oyster kit. This is quite fun, I think. Again, we wait for it to load the samples. Takes a little while, you know. Slow machine I got here. 2007 vintage. Well, actually, 2005 vintage. I got it in 2007. Old and a workhorse. Mostly stable, till it crashes and reboots during the recording of this. And then I won't be saying that. I'll be kicking it. This kit is very loud. Yes, it is very loud indeed. So much so that it kind of worries me a little bit when I play it in a live situation, although it does get the point across, you can be sure of that. It's good for Latin things. It's got a great ride, I really like the ride. Nice set of snares, the bass drum is very big. Nice hi-hat. Good set of cymbals to choose from. And the rimshot is good. All things to look out for when you are trying to find a kit that you want to play with. As you can see. The only issue with it is the loud snares. Is that loud enough? The D and the E is okay, and the G. But the E, the C sharp and the E flat. Oh my goodness! Are you loud? Yeah, I would kind of say so. That cowbell is also rather massive. rather on the large side, but it is good for Latin things. It's also good if you happen to have a loud piece to back it up with. The piece I want to show you today is because I can't find it at this time. Is it Take This Somewhere? Yes, it actually is. This is basically a piece for practicing drumming over. I mean, if you didn't get this already, I'm playing what are essentially electronic drums on a MIDI keyboard. You're supposed to play them using a real fake, as it were, electronic drum set. That are basically drums that you would sit on a proper drum stool with in front of pads that are MIDI'd up to these things. So it means that you can take them on a gig with you as a drummer and have lots and lots of things to choose from without having to carry around, you know, a DW kit, a Pearl kit, and bunches of other kits in your bag. Because you just can't fit that into normal space unless you're Harry Potter and have wizard cases. But we don't in our normal world of normalcy. And so that is what you're supposed to do with these. But I've been trying for many years to perfect my drumming ability on a MIDI keyboard. And the result thereof is the fact that I enjoy and would like to better myself at playing MIDI drums. That's basically why I was doing this, if you want to call it podcast, to demonstrate that it can be done and to show you some of the ways that you can do it. One of them was a track I designed. One of the ways to do that was a track that I designed called Take This Somewhere. For the simple reason, it's just bass, brass, and percussion. That's all it does. And it allows you to drum over it and better oneself in any way that you see fit. The track itself is almost dull. It just sort of goes. So, naturally, you play drums over it, turn it into what you want it to be, because the drummer controls the piece. As you see, some of the things I'm trying to do there are very hard, but real drummers would find it very, very, very easy. So my wish is to better myself so that in a pinch, if you can't find a real drummer, you can hire a MIDI drummer, someone that attempts to know what he's doing, and unlike keyboard guitarists, of which I'm guilty, don't play 7,000 things that guitarists cannot do in a situation at once. So I try never to overplay those drums. Example, you cannot, because you only have two hands, play four toms at once. I've heard people do it. And then throw in hi-hats and cymbals. That is not possible. Don't do it. It's stupid. So don't. So that's my attempt at trying to do that. And it's good to do it with different keys and different pieces of music as well. I have another piece of music that I tend to use called Don't Go Anywhere. Yeah, it is that one. Here's a piece of music that doesn't fit this drum kit in the slightest. Oh, goodness no. You see, too loud, completely the wrong kind of feel. But before I go away from that kit and explain the kit that does fit it, I wanted to show you one funny thing. I have the same kit with only the room mics turned up. See, it's far away and quite distant. Now, you could see that you could pretend it was recorded with your favourite set of binaurals, and you're standing there listening to some 14-year-old drummer attempt to play drums. And so every time I load this kit, I have the urge to just want to go and play stupid things like that, and then try a drum fill that's not in time. Because it's amusing to me. And then speed up for no reason, because that's what you do when you're 14. So I'm probably being far too complicated. Sorry about that. But that's what I want to do with that kit, because it's far away and you can sort of pound the keyboard and no one will feel too bad about it. That the C-sharp and E-flat snare that were hugely loud in the beginning, before I changed kits to this room-only kit, are now tolerable. But you go back to the other version of it, and they're just smack bang in your face! It's horrible! Now, let's go to... because I had a piece loaded to show you, didn't I? Another kit practicing piece. And the thing is, as well, I've said this on a couple of shows I've done. When you're playing Rhodes versus piano, you tend to play differently, even if you play the same kind of music. You may accentuate different parts of the chords, and so on and so forth. The same is true when you're playing kits. If, for example, the kit has a better snare than it does ride, or ride than it does snare, or hi-hat than it does toms, you will accentuate the parts that are good for the parts that are less good. In the loud kit, where the ride cymbal was very, very nice, in my humble opinion, I didn't really bother too much with the snares because they were scary and loud. In the kit that I'm about to show you, which is, if I remember where it is, Chicken Bone kit. Yes, Chicken Bone, that's it. It's a compressor kit. We've been messing mostly with the clean folders of all the presets. We are now in the affected folder, Chicken Bone, as this kit is. It's kind of compressed and sort of... You can tell there's compression as soon as I hit the bass, you see? And when I wrote this kit, this piece, I wrote it around this kit. And you can see that it fits it in a manner better than the Ludwig kit that I just showed you. It's kind of a jazz funk piece, you see. So what I like to do with this kit, this piece rather, is to mute portions of this piece, namely the bass and the strings, and perhaps one of the percussion tracks. That percussion track that's gone, and keep those around, and the kit itself. Why are you still playing? No, you're not. And practice my slower kit work. And here's where the ride cymbal sucked in this kit. So, what I'm going to do is switch back to the JR kit that was made by my friend in the Philippines, because I like it over this piece better than the chicken bone kit. Even though I wrote this piece with the chicken bone kit, I then decided much better ride. Bass, please. Quite difficult. Yes, you see, you've got to get it right. And I've only got one bass drum, so I can't roll. So when I'm doing that, I'm doing it with one finger. Quite difficult. If I want to be taken seriously, I need to be able to do all that without thinking about it and stopping. So this learning curve is for me too. As you see, stuff like that is very difficult. I couldn't have done that at that speed on the Take It Somewhere track, because it's a whole lot quicker, the tempo, you know. I can barely do it at that speed. So again, it's something I have to improve upon. It's just personal wish to be better, and so on and so forth. And really, I guess that concludes everything I wanted to demonstrate. If I missed anything, I missed a whole lot of the funky things. There's a lot of freaky presets, actually. For example, all right, I'll show you a couple of these. Why not? Something to do, isn't it? There's a track, there's a kit here in the experimental folder, with an X, that is, called Pushy Funker. It's quite bizarre, really. It's all loud and big, and wait for it to load if you can. Any day now would be wonderful. There it is. Now, it's selfishly for, again, certain types of music. I certainly wouldn't use it in this piece because it would be like... bizarre. But it's an old one. I guess it's more for breakbeat, you know? Cymbal. Because of the compression. I guess that's the kind of thing you're supposed to use it for. Then you have something called Alien Disco, which is, again, rather strange. Now, I guess when you're using kits like that, which are not really meant to be played in an ordinary kind of way, you can get away with odd uses of the snare drum like that. Well, I'm not sure if you're meant to, but you can. But don't do that in a live situation or in a piece that you're actually serious about, because it doesn't work. This is called Wind Tunnel. Much strangeness, and it gets stranger still, but there's over 200 presets, and I don't want to go through all of them, but I would like to think that you've benefited some from hearing this, I hope. If you have any criticism or comments, then please let me know at my website, or, well, Twitter, of course, because this is where that will be posted first, and so on and so forth.